Good morning. It's the 3rd of April. Our first reading today is Numbers 17 and 18. I'm going to read to you again from Brother Harry Whittaker's book, Israel in the Wilderness. I read, "In face of the rebellious questioning spirit in the people, it was urgently necessary to validate the high priestly rank of Aaron. The grumbling against Moses as prophet and leader had been effectively silenced by his prophecy, so promptly fulfilled, of judgment against Korah and his supporters. Now Aaron's office was to be declared equally unimpeachable. Instruction was issued through Moses that the rods of the tribal princes, the well-recognized symbols of their authority, were to be laid up in the tabernacle before the Ark of the Covenant. These were duly assembled, all 12 of them, including Ephraim and Manasseh as separate tribes. In the presence of the princes, Moses himself inscribed on each rod the name of its owner. Then, to these was added the rod of Aaron. It was the rod which had been Moses' own, used on former occasions with dramatic power and with all the authority of the God of Israel. Aaron's name was now inscribed on this, although by primogeniture he was not the senior prince of Levi, being descended from Kohath, the second son of Levi. Moses declared beforehand how the test was to operate. Overnight, one of the rods would show clear signs of life. Thus, the tribe of priestly authority would be picked out. The test was approved. But of course, these princes were not fools. Their minds would fly immediately to the possibility of trickery, because that is the kind of method that they themselves would not be averse to employing. So it may be taken as certain that a careful watch was kept till next morning to ensure that nothing shady happened. When next day the 13 rods were brought out from the sanctuary for inspection, the one with Aaron's name not only showed signs of life, it had gone through the whole gamut of growth, buds, leaves, flowers and fruit. The men stared wide-eyed at this astonishing phenomenon. Any suspicion of imposture which may have lurked in their minds was very effectively put to rest by the sight, for what almond tree ever showed all these stages of growth at the same time? All cavil of the kind so readily put around at the time of Korah's rebellion, that Aaron took too much upon himself, was now utterly silenced. The leadership of Moses and Aaron was never to be questioned again. The rod was now laid up once again in the sanctuary, before the ark, alongside the golden pot of manna. In later days, both were to be put inside the ark, together with the tables of stone. It is one of the loveliest harmonies of this part of Holy Scripture that the idea of death and resurrection should be symbolized in all the items thus preserved in the ark, God's footstool. The corruptible manna did not corrupt, and its earthenware pot was seen to be gold. Aaron's dead rod came to life again, and the tables of stone, smashed through the sin of the people, had been made again. There is an instructive link between Aaron's rod and the seven-branched candlestick. That lampstand is described as having a shaft and branches, but also bowls, knops or buds, and flowers. That is, it was intended to be a representation of the tree of life and light. And since the bowls were made like unto almonds, as we read in Exodus 25, Israel had evidently been taught to think of some connection between the tree of life and the almond tree. The Hebrew word for almond means watcher or awakener, the latter evidently because the almond tree is the first of all the trees to show signs of life after winter. All this is marvellously appropriate to the symbolism suggested now in connection with Aaron's rod. A final point from Brother Harry's notes. Priesthood, divine presence and rod are all brought together in Psalm 110. Thank you for listening.